What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 425, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase if you do purchase something that gives us a little kickback and, of course, helps the podcast keep on going here. And with me, of course, is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. We did take a week off, but we actually did podcast last Thursday. We were guests on Home Gadget Geeks with Jim, just kind of talked about some of recent news. The Intel processors had just come out, so talked about that over there. But yeah, you got a little marble mouth or something going on.
Well, tonight. Yeah. I mean, well, last week we didn't do the podcast because I was finishing my launch reviews for the new Intel processors, motherboard along with that. And video, first Think Computers video in this new space is also on the processor. So it looks horrible in my opinion. I haven't got the lighting in here correct. And I still don't know if I have it correct yet. But we're getting there. So we're getting back to a nice tech-centric set here. But lots to talk about this week. We will be talking about Arrow Lake S processors. We're going to be talking about the Z890 chipset along with our review of a Z890 motherboard. We have some cool storage reviews we're going to talk about. We also have full specs of the Ryzen 7 9800X3D, 10,000 megahertz DDR5, which is crazy. Also crazy, if you're into air coolers, one was just announced with 10 heat pipes. Some really cool stuff from Aya Neo. Of course, that's mobile gaming stuff. Really cool PlayStation 4 mod. And then Apple's new M4 chips, along with the newly announced Mac Mini M4, which is actually pretty exciting if you think about it. I know we don't talk about Mac that much, but lots going on here. Let's just jump right into it. Of course, last week, Intel launched officially the Core Ultra series, and I tried to go over this on our podcast with Home Gadget Geeks, but they changed the naming, so we don't have like a Core i9-15900K. Now we have the Core Ultra 9-285K. And the reason it's a 285K is because it's the second series in the new Ultra series. The first series, which you're like, wait, we didn't have a first series.
Like, wait, what? Yeah.
The first series was for mobile and embedded. And now this is officially the second series. So that hopefully that clears up the naming. All of the high-end chips will be called Core Ultra, but you're also going to have like lower-end chips that launch later that are going to be just, you know, Core 5, whatever, or Core 9, whatever. But the Ultra is the high-end chip, if that makes sense. So I took a look at the current flagship chip, which is the Intel Core Ultra 9-285K. And I have, I have a video on it, which is embedded in the article. If you want to check out the video, I go over a lot of stuff here. Some of the big changes with this is, one, no hyper-threading at all. So you have 8 performance cores, 16 efficient cores. So it's 24 cores, no threads or anything like that. And it has been a week. And just like Old Man said in the chat, most of the reviews for Intel chips were pretty poor. And yeah, that's kind of the consensus that we're getting from this. I'm not going to go over it in crazy detail. I want you guys to check out the review. And again, we didn't really even tested against newer processors. I tested against processors that have been out for like a while, like a 12900K. And just to give you an idea of performance per se in gaming, here's a graph, and it's going to be hard to see for you guys, but Cyberpunk 2077 running in at Ultra at 1440p, the Intel Core Ultra 9-285K was beaten by the Ryzen 9 7900X. So that's not the current generation. It's not the new 9000 series. It's the previous generation. And it's not the top-end chip either. It's not the 7950. It's the 7900X. It was also beaten by the Intel Core i9-12900K, which came out a while ago.
Right. Right.
And all these systems were almost exactly identical down to the DDR5 that we ran in all three systems. And that's the big consensus with this chip. Now, if we look at CPU-specific benchmarks, this is all gaming, but if we look at, like, you know, again, CPU-specific things, it's Cinebench, it's the number one. Geekbench, I mean, crushing it, right? All of these things, it's crushing it. But when it comes to gaming, and I think it's what a lot of people are really interested in, it falls behind. And again, it, at least in our Cyberpunk test, it fell behind a processor that's been out for a very long time. And I think that's the sad part for Intel, is that, you know, that was my consensus with the review, is, okay, if you are on a system that's 2, 3, 4 years old, would you want to upgrade to this platform? And you're really concerned about gaming, you're not going to see really any significant gains that make it worth upgrading. I don't think in anybody who's on a, you know, 13 or 14th generation, they're not upgrading because they just bought that system, you know, and even on the AMD side, really. So the fact that a 12900K is same performance or within a couple FPS at gaming is really not good. The really good thing about these processors is the efficiency. And I think I said this on when we were on Home Gadget Geeks, I think this is where the whole market really is going when it comes to consumer chips, is that we saw it with AMD's 9000 series. I didn't get to review those, but from everything I saw, the performance gains weren't all that great, but the efficiency was a lot better. And we're seeing that on the Intel side. The performance gains, especially when it comes to gaming, just aren't there, but the efficiency is really good. So if we look at efficiency, I'll bring this back up for you guys. So if we look at efficiency, it's the most efficient processor that we tested. Here's power consumption at idle. It's only consuming 12.04 watts at idle compared to 20 and 23 of the other two processors. And even at load, it's doing quite well, especially against the 12900K, consuming far less power. But the thing that really I was really, really surprised with is Intel processors, especially 13th and 14th gen, the high-end chips like the 13900K, 14900K, they got really, really hot. You essentially needed a 360 millimeter AIO to cool them, if not a 420. And we did talk about this as well. At CES, everybody had a 420 millimeter AIO. And in my mind, I was like, are we really getting to that point where that's going to be a standard?
Right.
Then you have to have a big case that supports it and all this stuff. But if we look at our load temperature here, this is the lowest load temperature that I've seen on an Intel processor in years. So 60 degrees Celsius at load.
That's pretty wild.
76 and 82 of the other two processors that I tested. So what this really means is that you're going to have a very stable system. You're not going to have to worry. And I do this even with my system that I have here, which is a 5950X. A lot of times I take the side panel off when I'm gaming because just I have a really small case. It's kind of my own fault. But at the same time, these chips run hot, right? So you're not going to have to worry about having to open up the side panel or turning your fans all the way up when you're gaming or whatever it may be to keep your processor cool. Now, does that make everybody happy? No.
No, of course not.
A lot of people are really upset with Intel on this. I don't believe Intel is going to have that. We have the best gaming processor because the X3D chips are going to be coming out from AMD. But as I said in my review, I do like this for most people. Everybody has the buddy that just is throwing away money at a new computer system and they want the highest end chip, but they don't want to have to worry about it overheating. They just want to put it in a system and it's like, oh man, you got to buy this 420 millimeter radiator and this big case that supports it. And maybe they don't want that.
That's like hundreds of dollars added on, you know?
Yeah. Probably more than that. So I like this series of chips for the efficiency. I don't know how much performance they can draw out of this chip for the, you know, the KS part or the extreme part or the special edition, whatever they might come up with. I don't see it like being something crazy that maybe you wanted to upgrade, but then you saw this and like, oh, this, maybe the KS part will come out. I don't know how much performance you're really going to get out of that or how much they can really draw out of this. But yeah, I mean,
not without like sacrificing performance or power, you know, savings and heat. Right. So,
yeah. And the chip itself, $589 retail. Yeah, no hyper threading. Gaming performance is bad, but you do get in really good multi-core performance without hyper threading. Like it beats other processors without hyper threading, which is great. Great thermals and efficiency, support for higher speed DDR5. So we have a story in our news talking about 10,000 megahertz memory that's made possible with the new memory controller on the chip. So that's, you're going to see a lot. And we saw a bunch already announced. We saw some overclocking, like I think it was close to 1200 or 12,000 megahertz.
Holy cow.
On that as well. More PCIe Gen 5 lanes. So if we look at the actual chipset itself, lots of new things on the chipset. Well, not lots of new things, but we do get total of 48 PCIe lanes. 20 of those are PCIe Gen 5. So you're going to have enough lanes to have both storage and your graphics card be Gen 5 without taking any lanes away, which is really, really nice. Also, Thunderbolt 4 is in the chipset now. So you're going to see most motherboards have dual Thunderbolt 4 on the back, which are going to be Type C. And that's true Thunderbolt 4, which is great to see there as well. What else is in the chipset? I forgot. So you will also see Thunderbolt 5 on some boards. So you're going to get that on these new higher end boards. It wasn't on the board that we tested, but Thunderbolt 5 is going to be on a lot of boards, but it's not integrated into the chipset. Wi-Fi 6E is integrated into the chipset as well. Even if you have the most low end board, if it's a Wi-Fi board, it should likely have Wi-Fi 6E, which is good there as well. And then Bluetooth 5.3 in the chipset, if you have a Wi-Fi board as well. So, and again, with that DDR5, you're going to get 48 gigs per DIMM. So up to 192 gigabytes of DDR5. And the default JEDEC spec for the chipset is DDR5 6400. Intel says that like the sweet spot is going to be around DDR5 8000. And again, we've already seen chips that, or we've already seen memory announced that's like 10,000 megahertz. You're going to see higher than that. The kit that we tested with the motherboard specifically, I believe was 8,200 or 8,600. So very fast. And that's a new kit from Kingston. So lots of stuff going on with the chipset to be excited about. But as far as the performance, it's just not there. When it comes to gaming, and that's just kind of what it is. I don't know. There's not much more that I can really add beyond that. If you are on a previous gen, if you're anywhere like 10th, 11th, it is going to be a nice upgrade, especially just for the platform itself. You're going to get faster storage because again, the 12th generation series, that was when you did get DDR5 and Gen 5 support. But if you previous to that, you're not getting Gen 5 support, especially for storage. So the platform is a nice upgrade, but it's good. It is going to be a solid performer when it comes to CPU tasks. It's just, if you're gaming, it's not going to be as good. That doesn't mean that it's horrible. It's not like we deducted 30 FPS off of a game or anything like that, but it's just not as good as say a 13900K, a 14900K. But yeah, again, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think if you're going into this either like without having a computer at all, right, or you're wanting to build one, like there's nothing wrong with going with this chip right from the start. But like you said, if you're a 13th, 14th gen user, no point. But if you're coming in fresh, don't have one at all, like there's nothing wrong with building a system based on the CPU, in my opinion, right? But yeah, or you know, going from a 10th or 11th gen, like you said, or an older AMD system. So
yeah. But with that, Asus sent us over their brand new ROG Maximus Z890 Hero motherboard, and this was like the perfect thing to test.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it is. Of course, it's ROG Maximus. That is one of their. It's right behind their Apex boards. As far as like where it sits in their product stack, this thing is going to have almost everything you would want in a new system, which, you know, we'll go over all of that. One thing that's pretty cool to see, and again, we don't see it that much anymore. Maybe I'm just being like a boomer, but like the drivers and everything came on a flash drive. Maybe that's me being a boomer, but
They didn't come on a CD, so that's good.
Yeah, so that was nice to see. They also have this bottle opener, which is like designed as like a credit card, but it's all metal. That's kind of cool in the product with everything that you get here. This is a normal ATX motherboard, all black design here, with a sort of mirror-like finish on the rear IO. Some silver grayish accents on everything, but a solid looking board overall. The big things to really point out is that one on the memory slots, Asus actually redesigned the memory slots. So they worked with a different company to completely redesign the memory slots. They call it NitroPath. What do they call it? NitroPath, or what do they call it? NitroPath DRAM. So they redesigned these. And so you have better contact, so you can essentially get more throughput. And there's a lot more room for overclocking when it comes to that. That's kind of the biggest thing you're going to get out of that whole redesign. So that's definitely a plus, especially when it comes to running faster memory or wanting to overclock the memory that you have. Using an Asus board is going to give you that, which is really, really great. So I really, really like that. Another thing on this board, I was like, I can't believe this works, Ryan. You'll be like, okay, so we've gone from having to put our finger down in the slot, right, to try to release our graphics card, to having the button on the board.
Yep.
Now Asus has a method that just works. There's no button, but it just works. So what are they calling this? Sorry, guys, I forgot it's been a week. Let's see here.
The Q slide?
No, it's called, let's find it here. Okay, so this is called PCIe Slot Q Release Slim. Long name for something that's so simple. So you put your graphics card in, it locks into place. So here's our main X16 slot. It locks into place. If you pull up on it, it won't come out. If you pull on it from any direction, it won't pull out. But if you pull it towards, if you pull up sort of like from the rear IO bracket and pull it towards, say, like the chipset, it comes out, no problem.
Oh, okay.
And I've tested this. And I was like, this can't actually really work, but it just does. I don't know how they do it. But it's for somebody who's constantly swapping out graphics cards and for somebody who has had the pain of trying to get a little screwdriver down to release this right here, it is the nicest thing. It really is the nicest thing to have, and to not have a button on the board and all that kind of stuff. It just makes the process so much easier. Good.
No, I'm just thinking about that slot. It's got to do with like the little tab, the like J hook or whatever. Because if you think about it, it could rotate or like pivot around that spot. So anyways, move on.
Yeah, I'll be doing a video on this motherboard, and I'm going to demonstrate how it works.
That'd be cool.
And you guys will get to see how it works. It's really, really cool. On top of that, they have this big heat sink, of course, which is made for Gen 5 NVMe SSDs, but this is also completely toolless. So you see this little tab here on the end that just essentially comes out, and you know, it releases like that, and then the entire thing comes off. It's so easy. And when you put it back on, it's also so easy. So they have that. They also have this new slide on the top slot, which basically you slide it over to the length of your M.2 and it locks it into place. They also redesigned their normal tabs for M.2s as well. So these tabs, see this little tab right here? You just press down on that and it lifts up the tab. So then when you put your drive in, it just closes on the tab.
Yep.
And it's on every slot, every other M.2 slot. So you're not going to find an M.2 slot on this board that is not toolless. So that's really good. You actually get 6 total slots on this board for M.2, which is great. So do I have a picture of the whole thing? I guess I don't. So you have your top slot, which is Gen 5. And then as we come down, we remove the bottom heatsink here. And this one is Gen 4. These two are Gen 5 as well. And then you have 2 more over here, which are Gen 4. So no Gen 3 or anything like that. All Gen 4 and Gen 5 slots on this, which is, and having 6. So they actually had to reroute power, I believe, to give you up to 6 on this board too. So they've done a lot of things on this board to really give you a lot of storage if you want it. Now, the one thing to keep in mind, just like we saw on the AMD board, is that if you populate these 2 Gen 5 slots, your graphics card goes down to X8 speeds. It's just a limitation of the chipset, obviously, but you do have that. So yeah, but 6 M.2 slots is just...
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. So that's what you have there. As far as the rear I.O. goes, one, you're getting those 2 Thunderbolt Type C's, which is nice. 5 gig LAN, 2.5 gig LAN. You're getting Wi-Fi 7 on this, and the connectors are just like the previous generation where they just like go in. You don't have to twist the thingy around, which is nice. You have internal USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. You do get USB 3.2 Gen 2 Type C on the rear I/O as well. I think there's 11 USB ports on the rear I/O. So not the most we've seen, but definitely a high amount there as well. And they're all higher speed as well. There's no USB 2.0 ports on the rear I/O at all. So you're not getting any of those. Lots going on. The entire back of the board is wrapped as well. It helps with stability, helps with cooling. So you have all of that. So this is a very, very solid board. I didn't even talk about the VRM. So this is a 22 plus 1 plus 2 plus 2. The CPU power stages are 110 amp as well. So if you were going to be overclocking a Core Ultra processor, you'll be good there. And if you guys didn't know, the Z890 motherboards, they're only going to work with the new Core Ultra. It's not like you can put a 14900K on there or anything like that because the socket is different. The socket is LGA 1851. Now, the holes on the motherboard are the same. So if you did have an LGA 1700 cooler, it will work on this socket. So it's not like you have to buy a new cooler if you had, you don't have to buy a new cooler if you already had an LGA 1700 compatible cooler. That's pretty much it for the board. As far as the lighting goes, they have what they call their polymo lighting, which... once this loads, we'll go into. They also did update their BIOS, and they have some cool things in the BIOS. I've done a full BIOS walkthrough video on this. It is up on our YouTube channel. But the polymo lighting, where that sort of mirror-like section was, it just lights up, and it says ROG, and then the lighting behind it, you can change the color. It's nothing crazy. Like I've said in a bunch of new motherboard reviews, lighting, RGB lighting on motherboards has kind of gone away from what we used to see. So, but you have all that.
You had a Ryujin cooler.
They sent we have a review of that coming up.
The new one. Nice.
It's their new one. It's their Extreme. Mm-hmm. And they actually changed quite a lot. And I know you're really familiar with that. So whenever we review that, you'll have to...
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I'm gonna do my best Ryan impression when we review that, because I typically don't review AIOs, but they send it over with this like whole review kit for everything. So one thing that's really cool with the BIOS as well is that it has like full HD support now, which is nice. It also has this thing called I forget what it's called. It's basically an overview of So you go into it and you can see like an overview of the board. And then say like where your graphics card is, you can see that you have a graphics card installed.
Oh, but
then
that's cool.
When you click on it, it will go into the BIOS settings for the graphics card, or like your memory, it will go into there for the memory, which is cool. This also has their new AI overclocking, which has been updated. You can actually set an AI overclock based on temperature now. Like there's a lot in this BIOS, and even my BIOS overview, I missed some newer things that are in there. The fan expert, which is their fan control. Most fan controls have like 4 points of curve when you're making your fan curve. This one now has an 8-point curve, which
I saw that on the screenshot. That's really handy to have.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff going on that Asus, I feel like a lot of it goes under the radar, the stuff that they do, you know, when it comes to like BIOS and even just like the Nitro Path DRAM and all this stuff. They really are like at the forefront, and then you see like a year later, everybody else is doing it. So, but I really like this board. It's just, yeah, it's just a great overall board for this new platform and everything like that. You're going to really get everything that you want. There wasn't much I didn't like about it. The biggest thing is that graphics card slot does drop down to X8 if you populate the bottom two Gen 5 M.2 slots, but that again, that's platform limitation. But I really like this. Now, it's not cheap. It's very expensive. It's $700 for the board. So it's not a cheap board. But you're getting the cream of the crop when it comes to feature set, VRM, cooling, like everything. It has everything that you would want. And for those who hate Armory Crate, they have a new driver hub that gets automatically downloaded. So it's more lightweight. It just downloads your drivers. You don't have to install Armory Crate to get all your drivers. I know a lot of people complain about Armory Crate being like this big clunky piece of software. So you don't have to install it if you don't want to. You just get your driver hub that downloads all the drivers that you need. So that's also a new update. And it's not out yet, but they're going to have a piece of AI software that you can be like, you can talk to it and you can be like, overclock my system or whatever. And it's going to do all that. If you, you know, it's
cool.
If you have an Asus motherboard, it will allow you to do that. That's going to be coming out here very soon. So also talking about Thunderbolt, this board does support the new Thunderbolt Share, which allows you to connect two computers together via Thunderbolt and transfer and do a bunch of other stuff. Only certain boards have that. This one does as well. So lots of stuff going on here. So check out the review if you're interested, but really fun checking out the new platform. I know it's decently underwhelming for a lot of people, and I definitely get that. And I was like, wait a minute, how is the 12900K doing better in gaming? Like, you know, but the platform is what I'm a motherboard guy. I always get excited for the platform, and I think the platform is great. And all the new motherboards we have, I think I have 6
wow. right now.
So we have a lot of motherboards to cover over the next month. A lot of stuff with that. And we also have a lot of X870E boards in as well. Like I have a lot of motherboards to get through by the end of the year.
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yeah, jeez. We have a lot of stuff going on. So definitely stay tuned for it. But check out the video on YouTube. Definitely roast my lighting setup because I think it was bad. But yeah, lots of fun doing that. We also took a look at a new NVMe SSD from Samsung. They're 990 Evo Plus. And when you think of Samsung, they're like
kind top of the line, usually.
Top of the line, kind of the standard when it comes to storage a lot of times. But when it comes to Gen 5, they're kind of not competing.
Yeah,
and it honestly sort of reminds me of Intel and AMD going more power efficient, but just a solid performer. And that's kind of what the 990 Evo is. Now, this is technically a Gen 5 drive. It's a Gen 5 by 2 drive, not by 4, like the really fast performing ones. And essentially, Gen 5 by 2 is the same as Gen 4 by 4. So you're going to get max speeds of what Gen 4 by 4 is. And that's kind of what this drive is. The big thing with this drive is that you don't have to worry about heat. You can see that it ships without a heat sink. It It is just a normal M.2 drive that you can slot into any computer. Doesn't have heat issues, is incredibly efficient. 73% higher power efficiency than the original 990 Evo. Better performance as well. Rated for 7,250 megabytes a second read and 6,300 megabytes a second write. So decently fast drive, but again, not even the fastest Gen 4 drive that we've tested in our testing. But it's a solid performer that's heat efficient, power efficient. And I guess that's kind of where Samsung is going with Gen 5, at least currently. There's really not much.
Do they have a pro version of this yet?
Not
the 990 Pro.
The 990 Pro, I think, is the Gen 4 drive.
Still, okay.
Yeah. When it comes to Gen 5, they've really only done this sort of hybrid, which I call a hybrid, which is Gen 5 by 2 or Gen 4 by 4, not strictly Gen 5 by 4. And if you look at like our comparison charts, it sits in the middle, you know, it's, and here's our true Gen 5 drives way at the top. And you can see it sits in the middle. It's, you know, it's a pretty solid Gen 4 drive, even though it's technically Gen 5. I like this for like a NOS drive, a, you know, something that's just going to be, or like if you wanted to, you know, kind of load up on drives, this would be like the one that's, you don't have to worry about heat issues or anything like that. It's just going to be a solid overall drive. We took a look at the 2 terabyte, which is $149.99 right now. Yeah, I gave it 9 out of 10. It's not the fastest drive out there, but it has good overall performance. Doesn't heat or thermally throttle at all. It is single-sided too, so this is actually going to be a really good upgrade for those who have a mobile gaming console that supports 80mm M.2 and want something that's not going to have any heat issues, because again, in a mobile gaming console, you don't have the cooling that you have on a motherboard. And I didn't mention that the entire thing is all in-house by Samsung. Controller, NAND, and this is DRAM-less as well, which is kind of, to get that type of performance without a DRAM cache chip is pretty nice there as well. So lots of stuff with this drive. It's again, as enthusiasts, we're underwhelmed. But for most consumers, this is going to be a very solid drive. So this is kind of how we have to think of it. And then I took a look at a really interesting drive that I have right here, which I'll show you guys.
This thing's cool. I like this.
This is the MSI Datamag. You can see right here, it is a small little, and you can see the type C right there. It is a small little portable SSD. But the cool thing about it is that it's magnetic. So we can put it right on the back of my iPhone, not going anywhere. And then they have a small little cable that's going to go from here into the bottom, the type C on my iPhone. So MSI Datamag, the whole reason you get something like this, if you are an iPhone user, and that's the biggest reason, I know a lot of you Android guys don't think this makes sense, but in order to use an iPhone 15 or 16 Pro with Apple ProRes at 4K, you can't even record on the phone with that setting without having an external SSD connected. That's kind of how Apple has done it. So that's why like a lot of people were like taping like a Samsung drive to the back of their phone and then running a little cable. This just kind of solves that by it's just magnetic and it just sticks there. And I do like it because like I can still do stuff if I have it connected. It doesn't really
matter. It doesn't get in the way.
Yeah, it doesn't get in the way. And like the setup's so easy too. So if I was, say Brian and I were at CES, for some reason I wanted to record at 4K in Apple Pro or Apple Pro Raw or whatever it's called, which I've never really shot in anyways, but you know, I just put this on, connect the cable and I'm good to go. A lot of people, and I've seen this and I'm sure you guys have seen this, where they have like their whole cage on the phone that has like the slot for the SSD to go in, their cable going around, like, this just, it's really simple. I actually have the cable. So here's the cable. It's like real It's bent at the correct place, and it's just real simple. But it's a great drive. It is USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, but it doesn't technically go that fast, which it's kind of interesting that MSI called it the Datamag 20 gigabit per second. That's like the official product name.
But it doesn't reach that speed, right?
But it goes about 1600 megabytes a second.
We're still like very fast.
And again, for iPhone users, the USB connection on the iPhones is USB 3.2 Gen 2, which maxes out at 1,000 megabytes a second anyways. Right. But it would have been nice to see this drive completely max out at those speeds. But, you know, in our testing, you can see 1,600 megabytes a second read about 1,500 megabytes a second write, which, again, is very fast. And, again, it means that if you are recording your Apple Pro Raw footage, you connect it to your computer, the transfer is going to be very, very fast. I also did test it on my iPhone. I got this app. I forget what this app's called. But it did test the speeds, and we're right around that 1,000 megabytes a second. So yeah, it's a nice little thing to have if you do have an iPhone or even a MagSafe compatible mobile device. It's going to be a great little thing to have. And it's just small and compact. And I love portable SSDs. We've gone over this for years. They're one of my favorite things, and I have a bunch of them. So no word yet on pricing. It is going to be available, I believe, 1, 2, and 4 terabyte. So if you really wanted to max it out, get 4 terabyte, you have all of that there. Now, we spent a lot of time talking about reviews. So we are going to jump into Case Mod Friday really quick because we took 2 weeks off. We have 2 builds. The first one is from one of my favorite builders, Sneff Computer Design. This is his O11 Vision Compact, which was just recently announced by Lee and Lee. This is his take on it, which I just love his... The frosted tubing, the clean build, all the Lee and Lee fans in here. What do you think about this one, Ryan?
No, it looks good. Yeah, I like those fans, like you said, that have the reverse blades on them.
Yeah,
I think those are the ones with the LCD.
Yeah, and these are the new fans, which we didn't talk about, and I didn't really know that much about it. But people were saying they're wireless fans, and I'm like, what does that even mean?
Yep.
There's no controller. The controller is wireless. So you plug in like a USB dongle into your system, and that is for the fan control, which is interesting.
I don't know if I'm a fan of that yet, but it's an interesting change of things. But no, I like this. It's got the frosted tubing that you love, obviously. I like that the cap on the end of that water block with kind of like the semi-transparent design there. Good use of distribution plates. I really like the tall reservoir as well, like taking up.
You don't see that as much,
right? Exactly. Yeah. In fact, we don't see many reservoirs anymore at all. It feels like everything's just like a distribution.
Yeah, plate, a distribution,
which acts like a reservoir a lot of times. Yeah. Anyhow, so,
but yeah, solid build there from Sneff Computer Design. I love his style. If I was ever to commission a build, I think I would commission him to build me one. I think him or maybe Stuart from GGF, mm-hmm. like I really like their style out of most people. I think they're just, I love the like clean and like, just like the clean lines too. Just like, if you look at like the lines, everything's just clean lines.
Yep.
Yeah. So, really, and you can see that dongle for the fans is right here. That's a USB dongle for him. But yeah, so that is that one. And then we have a crazy huge build. This one is an open frame Cyberpunk 2077 themed build. And this one's from Mayhem Mods. And this
that is a long tube there at the bottom.
Yeah, this tube, yeah. So this is done in the Cooler Master open frame. Is that what it is? I believe it's the Cooler Master like open frame case. And of course he's done his own styling on it with the yellow, of course, for Cyberpunk and all these like little additions to the case itself. I believe it's Cooler Master. I'm pretty sure.
So like those side panels are hinged, right? So I think it would have been cool to implement soft tubing in some spots so that you could kind of fold it in itself with those radiators, because now it's hard tubing and you can't, it's like stuck.
Yeah,
it still looks good, but I think it would have been cool to have some sort of functionality with the twisting
with those. Yeah,
yeah, but it's cool. I like this.
Yeah,
we haven't seen a 2077 build in quite a while, you know.
Yeah, I think we saw a ton when the game came out, and haven't seen that many lately. But yeah, solid overall build. I really like the back here with all this like addition of kind of all the styling. But those are the two builds for the week, guys. If you do want to ever like check out case mods and things like that, if that's something you're into, if you go to the website, go to articles, Case Mod Friday, and then we have just like a ton.
Scroll forever.
Yeah, you can kind of scroll forever. So we'll have all of that. Yeah, it's just so much fun. I sometimes go back and I'm like, what was the case mod scene like 4 years ago? And I'll just like go back on the site and just like look at them and see how trends change and what was going on back then. So now we want to news. The big thing, or one of the big things, was we finally got the entire spec sheet of the Ryzen 7 9800X3D. Ryzen 7 9800X3D, of course, this has a lot of shoes to fill because I feel like the 5800X3D was like the part.
Yeah. And I mean, 7800X3D is great as well. Like,
yeah, that's too. Like, chip as that, well. I feel like if you're gaming, that Ryzen 7 part was like the part to get. Not many people wanted the higher end Ryzen 9 X3D part. Like, they wanted the Ryzen 7. But we have the full spec sheet. It's going to come out November 7th. Of course, 8-core, 16-thread, base clock, 4.7 gigahertz, 5.2 gigahertz boost clock, and I believe it's all core boost.
I think on so. That. Yeah.
TDP of 120 watts. Yeah, and here's like the entire spec sheet was leaked, as they say. But yeah. I think people are excited about this because I feel like just in general, Ryzen 9000 series was kind of underwhelming.
Right. Especially when you know that this part is most likely coming.
Yeah.
Right? That's there's the hesitation in the market to purchase when you know this thing's right around the corner.
Again, Intel Core Ultra series, definitely underwhelming for gaming. So like a lot of people are really just like really looking forward to this. And again, supposed to come out November 7th. But yeah, that's the full-on spec sheet if you want to check it out. Yeah, I guess like if I was building a new system, that would be the part. Like that's the part that I'm going for sure. I'd say. That's kind of what I would be doing. Talking about new platforms, we did, like I said, 10,000 megahertz DDR5. You are going to see it. Corsair T's theirs. Their DDR5 10,000 CU DIMM. So all the new DDR5 you're going to see with the new platform, most of it is going to be the CU DIMM, which actually has certain things on it that allow for higher clocks. And Corsair teased 10,000 megahertz with all the screenshots, everything that you'd want. Like it's not just like a picture of the memory. It's a real picture of the memory. So like this is the real photo, along with all the screenshots and a video of it running at 10,000 megahertz. So,
well, that's a vengeance stick. That's not even Dominator stick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. And like, okay, so like I've been testing memory for years and like we have tested a couple super fast kits. Like I think we tested a couple, the 7200, maybe one, I don't think an 8000 kit, but very unstable. But like this kit that I have, the new Fury, it's a CU DIMM, and like it just works. It's just like, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to kind of tweak it or do anything like that. Like it just works. And it was,
well, all that tweaking's been done at the factory, right? Yeah. by the manufacturer, so that it's like stable. That point where it plugs into your board, it's stable, right? They've taken all that guesswork out and everything. So,
Old Man in the chat says, are there very many motherboards and CPUs that will do DDR5 10,000? I think you'll see some more BIOS updates for more boards to support it. The biggest thing is that if you do your research on CU DIMMs, it has stuff on the actual memory that allows for higher clock speeds. I think that like the clock, again, this is me being a week past when I did all my research on this stuff, but I believe like the clock generator is on the memory itself. It's not being done by the CPU, so it's kind of independent. But you will need to run faster memory like this. You are going to need latest platform Intel Z890. And again, don't expect like the, we haven't seen any other non Z890, but like when the lower end Intel chipsets come out, don't expect them to support higher end memory. Always look for, if you're looking at a specific motherboard that you want to support this memory, go to the product page, go to memory support, and you'll see what it supports. And again, those get updated all the time because new BIOS updates do come out that allow for support for higher end memory. And with Corsair announced 10,000, G-Skill announced 10,000, a bunch of people announced like 10,000 is coming. So I think most of your, I would say mid to high range motherboards will support it. Like all your high end motherboards, your ROGs, your ROG Strix, your MSI, what's the MSI? I forget, but like your Aorus on the Gigabyte side, your Tai Chi's on the ASRock side, they're all going to support it. But like I said, I think it's pretty cool that we're getting that fast when it comes to memory. It's just kind of like, I just feel old. Yeah. You know, I remember reviewing like
DDR2 3200.
Yeah. Or like, I remember reviewing like 2300. Yeah, 20, yeah. 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 So it's just like,
heck, even 1333, like DDR1, yeah. 1333.
I think I have some sticks of this still. They had survived all my purges of hardware.
You just can't get rid of them.
Yeah. Really crazy.
I thought this brand was dead.
Yeah, I thought this brand was dead too. CryoRig, who has been dead and then come back and then been dead again and then come back. I guess they're coming back with one of the craziest air coolers we've seen. It kind of looks like your normal dual tower, dual fan cooler here. It's called the Monster XX. It's their largest dual tower CPU air cooler. And the thing that really sets it apart is that it's kind of hard to see here, but it has 10 heat pipes, which is wild.
It is a lot.
10 heat pipes. I think it supports up to 300 watt TDP, which is like, I think the highest end air cooler that I've tested, I don't know what the Noctua is. The D15 G2, which I reviewed, because that is probably one of the highest end air coolers that I've tested. I don't know what the TDP rating is on that, but like I remember like most high end air coolers will be like 250 watt, 280 watt. Let's see, does it say TDP?
300
on the Noctua.
Oh, sorry, no.
I'm not sure. Doesn't say on the specs. But in any case, 300 watt on an air cooler is pretty impressive. Yeah. 10 heat pipes on an air cooler is a lot.
If you look at it, the way they've been able to do 10 heat pipes is they've kind of squished the pipes together. Yeah. So they made them flat. So
you can see it here.
If you think about it, it's almost like each one of them is getting a little less surface area on the block. But you still have that surface across the 10 heat pipes. So total, it's all still there. And then they can like spread them out as they go up into the stack to get that heat transfer. So it's a pretty good idea, really.
Yeah. Now, is this going to be a thing where CryoRig puts this out and then like it doesn't come out? Yeah, disappear again.
I don't know. I hope not. I have a CryoRig cooler, and I was really impressed with it. And I'm using it in that server build, right? That's where I'm using it. I had bought it originally for my 1800X build. Like everything about it was like top notch. The unboxing, the packaging, the build
they were
quality,
one of the first.
Everything that came with it was great.
They were one of the first to really do like this clean look. Like even this, like it's just clean, minus the fan clips, yeah, but clips, like they were one of the first to do it. This was like years ago when their coolers were just like super clean aesthetic, Now you see it all the time, but they were one of the first to do it. So I definitely root for them. I'm a big air cooler person, obviously. If this does come out, we'll try to get one into review and we'll see how it competes against the Noctua and the other high-end air coolers that we've tested. So that was the interesting air cooler. Aya Neo, their AG01 Starship graphics card dock that we have talked about. It's available for pre-order now at $599. It essentially has a Radeon RX 7600M XT inside. And if you have a laptop, a mini PC, a handheld, this can connect to it and give you essentially a better gaming performance. If anything, it just like looks cool. Like that's your, you know.
You could like see this thing being modded with like a paint job to go in Starfield build.
Yeah.
Or something, you know.
Well, but like, I don't know. Why would you put it in a build though? Because it's essentially...
Well, like, I know.
Yeah. Or you could like mod a mobile laptop. Gaming console or a laptop.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
And then this. Yeah, because, but it has all your ports and everything. Right. But $599 for that. I just think it looks cool. I like when companies do we don't see it as much, the unconventional designs on stuff. So pretty cool to see that. Talking about mobile gaming consoles. Now we've seen like the ROG Ally, and then right after another version of the ROG Ally came out. And then we've seen the Lenovo. What's the Lenovo one called?
It's not the Go, is it?
I think the Legion Go.
Yeah.
And you know, and we're seeing it get announced, and then the next one is like coming out right after. And essentially all these companies know that they need to do a yearly release just in general to keep people interested in the mobile gaming console thing. But Valve, the original mobile gaming console, Steam Deck, they confirmed in an interview that they're not going to be doing annual releases with the Steam Deck, which I honestly think is a good thing.
Yeah.
In a year, what all changes that much? Right, you're gonna get a little bit better performance. Maybe
you may get some better battery life, right? Or like a larger SSD in there, right? Because so many of these came with like only support for a 30 millimeter. So you may have just some like redesigns of the board to fit bigger battery or M.2. Yeah. But like, yeah, you're not getting new chips every year and new mobile GPUs. So
well, that's the thing, and it's like you're not getting the chips aren't updated as much. Mm-mm. It's just like with the Switch. I mean, how long has the Switch been out? Like forever.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, yeah, you might get like a better screen, but like it doesn't make, in my opinion, I don't like the every year release. It just, it kind of waters it down too, because you're just seeing it over and over and over again. Whereas if you have 2 years or even a year and a half, builds up anticipation, but it also gives the team creating these mobile gaming consoles time to refine the product to give users more on that next upgrade, right? It's not like, oh, okay, we have the Steam Deck and it now has faster memory. That's the update,
right?
Everything else, yeah, is
like
the same.
Legitimate innovation,
yeah, and something for like you said, for people to get excited about. So I honestly like that. I don't like seeing like, oh, we made the better battery life and like 2 FPS better in games. Like, it's not exciting, and again, it waters it down. Like, sometimes you see releases, you're like, yep, same thing. Who cares? You know, so I like the idea of year and a half, 2 years, and then we get something that essentially is new, not like a slightly upgraded thing that's the same. Old man in the chat says, Lenovo Legion Go is marked down from $699 to $499 on Amazon and Best Buy. Yeah, I saw that because AMD's coming out with their Z1. They're coming out with the Z2 very soon, like next week or something. That's why those are discounted, because they're going to be announcing new ones with the Z2. So that's why those are discounted right now on pretty much everywhere you go. You'll see that. So that's the last mobile gaming thing, and I thought this was super cool. So somebody took a PlayStation 4, a PlayStation 4 Slim, and turned it into a mobile gaming console.
I was expecting bulky when I first heard about this, but it looks pretty compact.
Yeah, so this is what the PlayStation 4 Slim looks like, and this is what this person created, and it's from Restore Technique. We have the video here if you want to check it out. It's in the article.
It's kind of cool.
But they essentially, and one thing that's super, super cool about this that I didn't see initially, and then I looked into it. So see the controls and stuff? They cut a DualShock controller in half, like, and put half here and half there.
Yeah.
And even like this, so this is a touchpad, if you for those who don't know. They even split the touchpad. There's part of it here, and there's part of it over here.
It weighs like over three pounds, which is funny.
It's not necessarily like this was just a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
But I think this is super awesome. They put a 1080p IPS display here, custom fan controller to keep temperatures down and everything like that. They modded it to support a M.2. Yeah, super cool. So definitely check out the video. And again, shout out to Restore Technique on YouTube for just doing, like, I love stuff like this. It's just super cool what you can, again, especially because like now all these things, it's just like, it's so easy to do and the parts are pretty cheap too. Like, you know, the display is not all that expensive and just, yeah, super cool. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Apple. And we don't talk about Mac and Apple that much, but they did announce their new M4. So we talked about it at length when they came out the M1, of course, getting away from Intel, having control over the chip down to everything. Really good thing. Apple M4 is now out. We didn't do an article on the actual M4 chip, but again, very powerful for what it is. And Apple's done a great job with those. And that's going to be in all of your new Apple products. One specifically is a new redesigned Mac Mini. And I have to say, for people who don't want a laptop, if you're an Apple person, if you don't want a laptop and you don't want to pay a ridiculous amount of money for a Mac Pro, that's just dumb. The Mac Mini is a perfect thing. If you want to stay in that Apple ecosystem and you want sort of like a desktop experience, Mac Mini has been the kind of best bang for your buck for Apple. And they've completely redesigned it, with their new M4 and M4 Pro, 5 inches by 5 inches, little PC. This is it.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And again, with the new, you can get it with the M4, M4 Pro. Yeah, just super, super small little device. I would recommend this to anybody who wants to stay on Mac and, again, doesn't want a laptop, doesn't want like an iPad Pro or anything like that. This is excellent. Excellent little device. It's just super, super, yeah. Starts at $599, $600 too. Pretty powerful. The one with the M4 Pro starts at $1,399. Again, higher end. But, again, if you want to stay on Mac and I don't even know what the price tag is of like a Mac Pro. How much do you think they start at?
Oh, I don't have any idea. Let's see. $2,500.
Mac. Was it the Mac Studio or the Mac Pro? Mac Studio is sort of like the Mac Mini Pro, but Mac Pro, this thing, the cheese grater. Ugh. And this one only has the M2 Ultra in it. Can we buy it? How much is it?
Oh, starting
$7,000. The Mac Studio, which is like the even
2,000,
Start at 2,000. So $700. Yeah. So this starts at $2,000. So again, $700. Like for people who just want a Mac that they can do some stuff. And again, the M4 is pretty powerful chip, too. So. Yeah, and it's super, super small, so it's not taking up space or anything like that. I think it's a good thing. And we do have a full article on the website all about the Mac Mini M4 if you want to check it out as well. But yeah, I think it's cool. I think Apple's doing some right things. Now, talking about something that they've done wrong for forever.
It was the biggest joke.
It was the biggest joke for years. It was a meme that the Apple mouse that comes with, you know, there it's called the Apple Magic Mouse. For years, it was a joke that they put the USB port on the bottom of the mouse, the actual, like this side right here, the bottom of the mouse. See, like most mice that are wireless that you need to charge, like this one right here.
At the front.
The USB port, it's hard to see, but yeah, right there. The Type-C port is on the front so that I could still use this as a wired mouse. Yeah, just like Ryan's. I could still use it as a wired mouse when I have a low battery or when my battery runs out.
Exactly.
The Mac Magic or the Apple Magic Mouse, for it was not designed like that. And for years, the Magic Mouse, to charge it, you needed a lightning cable, just like, you know. Well, they finally updated the Magic Mouse to a Type-C.
This, great. You know.
But that Type-C is still in the exact same place the lightning cord was.
So stupid.
I honestly feel like whoever designed this is now like super high up in Apple, and he's like, right, you can't change it.
Yep.
You know, or Apple's like, well, people are just going to buy two because they need to charge one.
That's terrible.
You know, yeah. But like, how dumb is, like,
is it? They're so worried about aesthetics and a USB port being on, like, the front of this thing,
or like even on the back, you could put it back here.
There's plenty of space for it. Plenty of space.
Yeah. Old man says Apple wants you to buy two. I think that's what it is.
You could even have like a magnetic cover that like pops off the front, so that when you do need to charge it and want to use it, and then you take it off, snap the thing back on, and it's
hidden. It literally makes no sense.
Well, I guess I'm not going to use my computer for a while, or at least the mouse.
So talking about things that Apple and things that make no sense, my friend, she owns a business, and she's all Mac, and she's like, I want to get a iMac, but I want to like mount it, you know? And I'm like, oh, like, again, I'm not a Mac person. I'm like, oh, like, it probably has VESA mount. Just all you need to buy is VESA mount. The 24-inch iMacs don't have a VESA mount. Why? It's a common standard. I even went into the Apple store. And I was like, hey, like, how do you wall mount this? They're like, you can't. He's like, and then he's like, a $5,000 Mac, whatever it was. The display, he's like, yeah, our Big Mac displays, they have VESA mount. I'm like, I want
send him a display or something.
Send him a display. I'm like, I don't want that.
I want to put this one on the wall.
Yeah. So it's just like, how, again, being a PC person and some things that Apple do great.
But yeah.
This is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I have to say, it's just one of the dumbest things Apple has done.
Get a chance to change it. Yeah,
it's not even like, okay, maybe, you know, when that first Magic Mouse came out, it's like a kind of like an oversight. We didn't realize this, but now, like, it's been a meme for years. So you have every opportunity to change it. You didn't change it. So definitely,
it has me thinking about like the guy that's on the talk show, and he's like laughing and telling the story, you know, and he's sweaty and laughing. And it's like, we put it on the first one, and then we made the new one, and we put it on the bottom again. And someone needs to make that one. That'd be good.
Yeah. It's just hilarious that this is still a thing. I don't know. Like I said, my thing is that it's either they want you to buy two, or whoever designed this is so high up at Apple now that nobody, he's like,
no.
you can't change it now. So, last thing, I thought you would be interested in this, Ryan, because you're a big storage person. Silverstone launched a new case called the SATA A2. And the big thing with this is that internally, you get support for a ton of 3.5-inch drives. Yeah. If you don't want that, because obviously that cuts out space for your graphics card. You can remove all of these, and you have support for fans or a radiator in the side mount. So it is kind of like a hybrid case. We haven't seen cases like this in a little bit, with the trays and support for 2, 4, 6, 8 hard drives. Silverstone is always big in storage related cases, but this is kind of like a hybrid because you could do it either way. You could take the cages out,
yep,
or move them up or down if you don't want to make use of that.
Yeah, I reviewed the A1.
Okay.
And it's a good case.
I like that. I like this color, to be honest.
Yeah,
like
that
gold in the white. Gold.
It looks like they put smaller fans up front. It looks like they put 3 120s maybe. I'm pretty sure the original had like 180s up, 2 180s.
Oh, really?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting case. It's decently expensive. It's $168.
That seems kind of high because I'm pretty sure those drive trays looked to be plastic to me.
Yeah, maybe the cage isn't, but the actual trays interesting. But in a nice little hybrid case. It's still, again, we're like at this point we're like boomers, you know. This is how things used to be.
You're gonna need all those drives if you
want. Yeah. So. But cool to see. If you're interested in that, check out Silverstone. So that is it for news for the week. Coming up next week, I actually should have that review of, it's the Asus ROG Ryogen 360 ARGB Extreme. I think that's the product name. It's very long, but it's the newer version of the Ryogen 3, only available in a 360 millimeter version now. They've redesigned the fans. That's a big thing. The fans have been completely redesigned, as well as some other things. Ryan took a look at the original Ryogen 3. So like I said, I'll be doing my best Ryan impression on this review. I do have to say, though, because I have messed with a bunch of like the fans that clip together, Asus's implementation is great.
It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really, really good. So I really like that. Also taking a look at a mouse from Glorious. We haven't taken a look at anything from Glorious in a while. So this is their Model 02 Mini Wireless. This is 57 grams. So lightweight. And Glorious was one of the first companies that really got me into the lightweight mouse thing. So be fun to check this out as well. So I've been playing with this week. So we'll have those two things coming up next week. Dude, it's going to be November, man.
I know. Like 2 days.
Yeah. So we always have a question of the week. And I thought this question was pretty pertinent considering what we've seen in the CPU space. Would you prefer a high-powered yet hard-to-cool system or a really decent-performing system, but it's easier to cool?
I think I'll take the decent and cool system, especially in my environment, right? I use this in this room with the door closed. And when this system does get a little warm, like it gets warm and then you're like uncomfortable, at least for me. I would rather have like the decent performance, not have to worry about thermals at all. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say the same thing. Interestingly enough.
And for the workloads that I do, I don't need that top high end, like, save me time on, you know, exporting a video, right? An hour long video. I'm not that guy that's exporting that where the high end performance is going to save me, you know, X amount of time in export time. So,
yeah, I'm very much the same way. I have a smaller case. And interestingly enough, when my fans died on my top radiator, I haven't replaced it yet because you can't really buy the fans anymore for some reason.
Oh no,
because they're the Li and Li Uni
fans. Gotta get onto eBay.
They're the Li and Li Uni fans, but they're the V1. And I think I'm just gonna upgrade to the V2s, but I have to get a bunch because I have 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 in this system. So I got I was like, oh, like this version 2. So I bought a 3-pack of the version 2, and I'm like, oh, these will just work. But no, nope. The clip, everything's different. So I was like, this, yeah. So, but anyways, I I'm on my top radiator, which is probably a horrible thing to do. I only have two fans on it. It's a 360 millimeter. I only have two fans on it currently. So last week, or no, the week before when we were gaming, I was like, why is my CPU like really hot?
Oh yeah.
And it got super hot. So when we play tonight, I'm going to take off my side panel, but
open it up. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the thing. I would rather have a great performing system that can be cooled very easily. Again, I have a smaller case. I don't want to have this big thing. And you just, again, you don't want to have to like do those things. Open the side panel when you're gaming, open the side panel when you're, you know, encoding a video, having to worry about instability, or as we saw with Intel processors, having to worry about cooking your processor or damaging your processor. You don't have to worry about any of those things. I think for most people, that's what they want. Again, all of us enthusiasts and gamers say that we want every generation, we need 20, 30% better performance, but I'd rather have something that gets the job done and it's nice and cool. My computer doesn't seem like it's a nuclear reactor over here. So,
he says no need for a space heater in the winter. Yeah. Like this room stays warm in the wintertime for sure.
Yeah. 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 Old man says that he prefers a high power system. It doesn't need to run at 100% all the time, but the extra power is nice when gaming. Yeah. That's the argument that a lot of other people have, is they're okay with things getting hot every once in a while. But again, for most people, you're not running that high wattage system at 100% all the time, unless you're encoding like crazy or doing certain things, running LLMs for AI or on it or anything like that. Like most people, CPUs clock down, they're not running at 100%. But that's kind of the choice that you want to make, I'd say. But yeah, that is kind of it for the week. We always talk about any other tech stuff. Do you have any other tech stuff going on?
Not this week, no. Not that I can think of.
I'm trying to think if I had any other tech things.
Got a couple things into review, but so I'll be putting those out in the next few weeks.
Yeah, I have a lot of motherboards.
Sounds like it. Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I didn't mention. Let me see if I can bring it up. And I thought you might be interested in this, Ryan, is I got these radiator stands.
Okay.
Yeah. Let me bring this up real quick. Let's see here if we can. Oh no, it's not this one. Okay. So I have a test bench. It's the OpenPC test bench. It's like one of the most popular test benches that there is. Let me find it. And it has no water cooling support, right?
Right. Yeah. That one.
Yeah. Because it's small. And
didn't
I did
your previous one.
My previous one did. Yeah. Oh, it's really hard to see here. Let me bring up. Hold on. I'll bring this up so you can see it currently. It's back here. It's like a radiator stand. I got it off Amazon, and I'm like, I bought a second one. I have two now. They're. Hold on. Let me bring up a better picture.
Well, especially with that test bench, yeah, you don't have to like prop it up against the wall or just like let the tubes hold it in place. That's probably smart.
So this is it right here.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's all made of metal and it has a handle at the top, and it mounts up to a 360 millimeter radiator. And what's nice about it with the test bench is that while I'm swapping things out, the biggest thing when I had, like, I just would like set the radiator up, but like, just like prop it up. But then when I would disconnect things, like the bottom part right here would like knock off stuff and it would like hit the desk. And then like, when I'm taking it off, I kind of have to prop it up. And then sometimes I don't prop it up.
You don't want the CPU, the paste getting on everything.
Yeah, paste was all over everything. Yeah. So this kind of solves that problem. Do I have any other pictures? Here's another photo. Yep, so like you can kind of see, so here's the test bench and you can kind of see it back there, but these are great. So if you're like doing a test bench, I think they were like $40, $45 on Amazon. Let me see if, hold on.
Yeah, no, those are good if you're doing it a lot and on a test bench. But like from all my testing of AIOs, I do it in the case.
Right? Yeah, well, that makes sense. That makes sense. For me, I'm testing motherboards and I'm swapping all the time. So this is the listing right here. So this $40.99, and that's kind of what it is. But again, if you're a tester and you're swapping out motherboards all the time, this is excellent. And again, it's just like you put it to, you put the whole thing together. It comes in pieces and it's just like four pieces that you put together. But it, yeah, I would, it makes things so much easier now. Believe me. I was like, one of the things that I decided to buy once I moved, I was like, I can't be just propping this 360 millimeter AIO up and hoping it doesn't fall over. So that was my tech thing. That's cool. I picked up. So yeah, but it is Wednesday, and that means that it's going to be gaming stream night. And Ryan runs that stream. We'll be playing some Apex Legends, and I will be taking the side panel off my case because I don't have a third fan on my radiator. But we'll be having a lot of fun doing that. So definitely stay tuned. That's over on Twitch. So this stream's going to end, and we're going to jump over to Twitch, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Go ahead and check that out for sure. And old man in the chat also said, your test bench reminds me of when builders used to have their radiator outside the case. That bracket would come in handy. Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is like I would kind of just prop up the 360. And if you look at like a lot of other reviewers, they kind of just prop up the AIO, but I kind of just wanted it more secure and like just gives me a lot more flexibility. So that's why I got it. But yeah, guys, head on over to Twitch. We can keep on talking tech in there. Ryan will be running that stream. And we will see everybody next week.